It's time for Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Hite.
Rattler awaits a shotgun snap, gets it. Blitz coming, pressure coming. Barrett Carter getting out and sacking Rattler.
They do have a timeout. Decide not to use it. Curry, way downtown. Bang! Bang! Oh, what a shot from Curry! With 6/10 of a second remaining.
He could have easily gotten 5 or 6 yards if he would have just pulled that thing down and dove forward.
But why do you even ponder passing? I mean, you can take a knee and try a 56-yard field goal. This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
Oh, what a play by Mike Williams. A touchdown of 19 yards.
I mean, he put Jamarcus King on his back and gave that chicken a ride.
Free throw shooter. Clark in a straight check.
Oh, he didn't need to do that. He threw it away. Hitting Pickens.
To the sideline, caught first down.
Woo! What a hit, Denzel Ward! You got barbecue back there, and you didn't invite me. Hurt my feelings.
Well, there's Chase Hunter. 2 seconds. One launches a three. Good if it goes. It does. Chase Hunter, the three at the buzzer sends Clemson to the locker room up 10. 25.
A double pumper. That was a double pump shot.
That was another one from the band down by the river.
Now, let's go live to Facts and Childress and John Hite.
We welcome you in, everybody. It's the Wednesday edition of Facts on Sports with Facts and Childress and John Hite right here on The Roar. Wednesday, July 2nd, 2025. We are glad to have you with us here on a Wednesday. 654-ROAR is the number if you'd like to chime in. Phone lines and Adams Go Roofing text line will be open throughout the majority of the program with much to discuss on the Wednesday edition of the program. We will be talking college football. Once again, continuing to get you ready for the upcoming season. Bunch of topics to roll through. Some Arch Manning quotes that came out yesterday that I heard Mickey talking about in the final segment. We'll unpack all of that. We'll be talking NBA free agency. Couple more moves yesterday. Nothing that really shifted the pendulum too much, but we'll definitely give you an update in that world. Paul Skeens offense continues to hate him, but it didn't matter because the Pirates won 1-0. Braves, unfortunately, replicated what the Cardinals wanted to do last night, which was score zero runs. So we'll also talk about Atlanta and what their outlook looks like right now in the world of Major League Baseball. On top of that, we got some Wimbledon to run through with a couple more results. Coco Gauff lost yesterday, which was very, very shocking. One of the biggest upsets in the history of Wimbledon. I think she was the number two overall seed on the women's side, if I'm not mistaken, and lost to an unranked player. So we'll break down what all's going on in Wimbledon as well. And then, of course, a little bit of NFL stuff to get into. John's team obviously has made the headlines the last couple days. We've got some more trade rumors that are swirling up, but this admittedly isn't a really hot time during the year for trades. So I don't know if it's just the Steelers and the Dolphins looking to make moves or if other teams are hunting the market right now to try and improve their roster. John, I have a feeling your Tuesday was better than mine, brother. How was your Tuesday?
My Tuesday was good. Tuesday was very good. It's nice to win again, 5 in a row for the Buccos, so very excited about that. And, just now I'm just sitting around waiting for the big NBA news.
Yeah.
Continuing to sit around and wait for the big NBA news.
Shams will pay. That's all I have to say right now. Shams will pay because this has been a summer of false hope. John, I did want to bring this up in segment number one. I was talking to upper management about this yesterday. We were breaking down and just kind of having a discussion. I was talking with Hennis, like literally right in the lobby about this for 20 minutes yesterday after our show. And he told me I should bring it up, so I'm going to. When upper management tells you to bring something up, you bring it up. Kind of a good rule of thumb to operate under. I really like working here, in case y'all didn't know that. But in all seriousness, we were talking about gymnastics, swimming, diving, and a couple other different sports, UFC, okay? Now, I understand people at home are probably like, where is this going? The crux of the argument was, where do we decipher the line for what a quote-unquote sport is? Now, let me walk it out, okay? Upper management was making the claim, and I tend to technically kind of agree with him, that in order to be qualified as a sport, you need a determined winner and loser by a scoreboard that is objective. And we were both expressing some complaints. Me personally, I was expressing my inability to ever really get into UFC, for example. All my friends are big-time UFC fans. I had friends that flew out to Vegas that wanted me to fly out to Vegas with them last week to go to the big UFC event. I just don't really care. I don't know the rules. I'm not super interested in it. And a big part of that is because there are three judges with a subjective scoring system that have their own interpretation of the rules that get to determine the winner and the losers of these fights. So that kind of got the ball rolling for us, and we got a conversation sparked, and we were like, okay, so like, what do we consider a sport based off of those parameters if you have to have a defined winner or loser? And when I say, what do we consider a sport, let me preface this by saying, I'm not taking anything away from the impressiveness or the skill set of these other sports. Anybody in the UFC would whoop my tail. Anybody in gymnastics is a much more gifted athlete than I will ever be. Same to be said about competitive dance, competitive cheer, etc. So let me get that out of the way. We're not stepping on toes here. We're just walking out the exercise for the purpose of walking out the exercise. But John, that was a conversation we were having. It was like, where do you draw the line between those sports that have objective scoring systems like Wimbledon, what we're watching right now? Keys versus Danilovic. Keys is going to win 6-4, 6-2, right? That's objective. Wins and losses, you move on to the next round. But when you get into a gymnastics or a diving or a competitive cheer or a competitive dance or UFC, you have these judges that have so much impact on who the winner and the loser goes down as in the history books. So I don't know if you have thoughts on this, but we talked for 20 minutes about this yesterday in the lobby, and I found it kind of interesting to, like, where do you draw the line with that? And, like, obviously all of these are sports, but there is a major difference between the scoring system of those specific sports with judges versus the sports with no judges. Your thoughts?
Well, my question to him is he actually trying to do real sports, or is he trying to be the best at working out? Like, I don't know. My only pushback to that would be, how else would you score it? How else would you officiate it? How else would you rule it without three judges?
I don't know enough because about gymnastics that's the thing. Like, I don't know. Like, where is the objective line? Because this was the conversation that was sparked. So if somebody is in a gym, and this is, like, I'm asking for a borderline educational reason for the text line. Please get it on the text line and the phone line at 654-ROAR. I watch Clemson gymnastics. Before that, I have no knowledge base on the sport of gymnastics. So when I'm watching, I don't necessarily have the education level or knowledge base to know what makes like a great, what makes something great versus what makes something not great. And the margins are so thin. This is kind of the question to me. How do judges on the same panel have different scores and sometimes such drastically different scores for individual acts? That's my question. Like, how can one judge say this is a 10 and the other judge is like, nah, this is a 7 in my book?
I will do my best to try to meet in the middle here with the sport I know you do understand. The NBA dunk contest.
Okay, yes.
It's just a, you know, what's the expression? The beauty's in the eye of the beholder?
Yes.
I think there's a lot of that to it.
Okay.
You know, it's what do you personally value as impressive? Like, for example, just use the dunk contest here as something that, a sport we all kind of understand that has judges like that.
Yeah.
I can find it more impressive that you do a 360 between your legs, whatever, to make the dunk, but the judge sitting next to me could find it more impressive that you jump over a Kia.
Right.
I think it's just kind of personal preference in those things. And I think that's why you have three, is to try to create a balance, not just one subjective judge.
Yeah, I think that's true. A couple texters are getting in saying there's knockouts in UFC. Yeah, I know there's a knockout you can get.
Oh, yeah, if one guy's unconscious, I think we found the winner.
Yeah, and then you can get somebody by submission, right, if I'm not mistaken. Like, you can have a takedown. Like, I know enough, and my friends talk about this enough to where I have, like, a general baseline level of knowledge for UFC. So there is the objective element to that, right? Like, you can knock your opponent out and leave no doubt about it. Another texter gets in and says boxing is also a judgment sport. Agree to an extent, but admittedly, I know nothing about boxing.
I mean, it is until, you know, like I said, unless it's somebody's unconscious. Yeah, I remember, I'll have to ask Walt when he gets here today to try to pinpoint when we did this show. But I did a show with Walt, and this was before COVID. So this is like 2018, 2019, where we had a book, and it was, what is a sport? and we went through like every single Olympic event and every sport within this country and tried to determine what is and what isn't an actual sport.
Yeah.
I need to ask Walt when we did that show, see if we can find it. I can plug it to theroarfm.com if it's still somewhere there in the archives. But this was like 5-6 years ago now at this point.
So I guess my question to kind of you and the audience here as we're just thinking out loud on this topic here in the first segment, what is your personal like qualification, and I guess where do you draw the line, if you do draw the line, as to what you consider a sport? I would consider 99% of things sports, but I do think there's like a different category or quota, if that makes sense, for the sports that have the judge system based off of just like the black and white, X and O, you know, you score a point, you shoot a basket, you hit a home run type of sports.
And see, I find that interesting because I don't have that personal difference between the two. I kind of just differentiate it between individual and team sport.
Okay, so that's the bigger thing to you is individual versus team?
Yeah, is it individual versus a team? You know, is it just you versus yourself in this moment, you know, or, you know, you and a collective group of people need to accomplish something? So I put it this way, if it's something that you have physical ability to go out there and do that not everybody can actively possess, it's a sport in my opinion. You know, for example, there's, you know, like you mentioned like the competitive cheerleading. I can't do any of those. I can't do any of that.
Absolutely not.
The flips and the tumbles and the, no, I'm hurting thinking about my body trying to contort in some of those ways. That's a sport. Like that's you showing a physical ability that you have that somebody else doesn't.
Okay, so that's where
for me personally, you know, like but you could say, well, is cycling a sport because you're going from point A to point B? Well, yes, because you're doing it better than other people are.
Okay,
you're competing at. You're trying to do it in the fastest way possible to get there to be first. I think there's sport within that.
That is fair. Team versus individual is an interesting conversation as well, because there's so many different nuances to a team sport than an individual sport. I don't think people realize how hard individual sports can be and how hard it is to win in individual sports. Bunch of texters getting in on the Adams Co Roofing text line. 654-ROAR if you want to keep getting in with us. Duke Travis says the hood of a Kia, not that impressive. Dang, dissing Blake Griffin here on a Wednesday morning. Texter gets in and says, is professional eating a sport? Now we're talking. So because technically by the guidelines of they're doing something that I know I physically couldn't do, like I can't shove however many hot dogs, you know, Joey Chestnut is, and then texters get in with a good point. If the physicality and the athleticism is a part of the equation, then is NASCAR a
yes.
sport? Because that's more of
yes.
a mental game. It
yes.
is physical as well.
Yes, it's a sport.
Okay.
It's a sport. It's not... We're all just commuting out here. If cycling can be, you know, yes, it's a mode of transportation, but you're competing using a mode of transportation. And I also would challenge somebody to drive a NASCAR at those speeds, on those tracks, you know, on those turns. We'll have Landon Walker on the show here soon enough, the fuel man there for the William Byron car, to kind of educate us that, yes, it very much is a sport.
I'm not trying to be gross.
Also would say, you know, what he does is sport, because I probably can't lift the giant fuel canister that they have to do or change the tires out in that kind of time. That's athleticism there.
I would ask Landon, is it true that like the race car drivers in NASCAR are like using the bathroom while in the vehicle? Or did I see this wrong? Like there's like there's like a system in place to where like if they need to, they can. Like that's gotta require some level of mental endurance.
Absolutely.
To drive NASCAR and to do that long, and I'm sure it's hot as all get out, right? And you have to have such attention to detail because you're going a ridiculous speed in a vehicle that can kill you and others.
Yep.
That has to be accounted for in the NASCAR thing. So like I agree from the sentiment that it may not give all of the markings of a traditional sport, but when you account for the level of difficulty and just the mental fortitude that you have to have, that's absolutely a sport.
I mean, I can think of many times last fall when we had to rearrange the time for Landon's weekly segment to preview Clemson football because they would have like team workouts and lifts in the morning for the NASCAR pit crew. So he's like, hey, sorry, our lift got moved to 10. Can we bump it to the 11 o'clock segment?
For sure.
Like That's a sport.
And 615 says, and that length of time in an extremely hot car. You're exactly right. Okay, so now we've sparked some interesting conversation. We'll take this into the next segment because we got to take our first break of the program. Texts are getting in saying croquet, leisure sports. I have a hippie category of sports in ping pong, foosball, horseshoes, bocce ball, etc. I love all of those activities listed. We're going to walk this out on the other side of a break, and we're going to get some more opinions from the audience. 654-ROAR if you guys want to get in. We're laying it all out there in the world of sports.
Listen, we can iron this out as long as you want to. If you want to avoid the Atlanta Braves Pirates trade for as long as you want to, we can, you know.
We're playing a little
getaway
right
now. We can filibuster as long as you need to today, but at some point we're going to have to address that.
I've got all the topics in the world in the bank, John. We're going to see if we can get out of here without talking about the Braves. Now, in all seriousness, though, we will get to Atlanta at some point. We've got college football to get to at some point as well, and some NBA and some NFL. But right now we're talking what's a sport? What is a sport? What is your personal qualification for what makes a sport? And interested to see what you guys have to say on the text line. Keep loading it up at 654-ROAR. More discourse after our first break here on a Wednesday.
When you're hiring, have you ever felt like you're missing out on meeting truly great candidates for your roles? It seems impossible to find them, but they have to be out there somewhere, right? Well, they're not hard to find when you know where to go. And that place is ZipRecruiter. And right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter helps 10 million people with their job search every day. And because these people are actively looking for jobs just like yours, it's easy to find the right person right away. In fact, 4 out of 5 employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. But if you're not using ZipRecruiter, you're missing out. So see what it's like when the impossible is easy. When you go to ZipRecruiter.com/radio right now to try ZipRecruiter for free. Once again, that's ZipRecruiter.com/radio. ZipRecruiter.com/radio. Never miss out on great candidates with ZipRecruiter.
I love learning, especially when it comes to learning more about my health and how to improve this lifestyle journey that we're on. Something I learned this week is that PhD weight loss clients often lose 25 to 30% of their body weight. And more importantly, they keep it off with the unique lifestyle integration phase that PhD weight loss provides. The real kicker is that PhD helps you do it with no side effects, no long-term risk, no major muscle loss, and no rebound weight gain when you stop. Just natural, lasting results. Learn how you can take back the keys to weight loss and a better lifestyle, and begin with the free body scan and personalized metabolic assessment being offered right now at PhD Weight Loss. Give them a call in the Greenville office at 864-644-1900. That's 864-644-1900. Or visit them at myphdweightloss.com.
Discover the transformation your home deserves with East Main Furniture. Our selection ranges from cozy living room sets, sleek dining room tables, bedroom sets, all designed to make your space uniquely yours. And don't forget about our large inventory of Lazy Boy recliners at great prices. Quality, style, and affordability are our promises to you. So why wait? We have the new room you need. Visit us online at eastmainfurnitureeasley.com and start your home makeover today. Visit us at 829 East Main Street, Easley. East Main Furniture, where style meets savings.
Combine a Bojangles Chicken Supreme with a toasted bun that's great on the go, and you get Bo's Bird Dog. Grab 2 for $5 for a limited time only. It's Bo time.
Hi, Zoe Saldana. Welcome to T-Mobile. Here's your new iPhone 16 Pro on us.
Thanks. And here's my old phone to trade in.
You don't need a trade-in. When you switch to T-Mobile, we'll give you a new iPhone 16 Pro. Plus, we'll help you pay off your old phone up to $800, and you still get to keep it.
There's always a trade-in.
Not right now at T-Mobile.
I feel like I have to give you something in return for karma.
That's okay.
I don't really have much in my purse. Oh, let's see. Hand sanitizer? It's lavender.
I'm good. Seriously.
Let me check this pocket. Oh, mints?
Really, I'm fine.
Oh, I have raisins. I'm a mom. Wait 1 sec. I've got cupcakes in the car.
It's our best iPhone offer ever. Switch to T-Mobile. Get a new iPhone 16 Pro with Apple Intelligence on us. No trade-in needed. We'll even pay off your phone up to $800.
With 24 monthly bill credits, new line, $100 plus a month on experience beyond finance agreement, $999.99 and qualifying ported. For well-qualified plus tax and $10 connection charge, payoff via virtual prepaid card allow 15 days. Credits end and balance due if you pay off early or cancel. See T-Mobile.com.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
You're listening to Facts on Sports with Faxon and John. Now let's get back to the show.
Welcome back in. Hour one of Facts on Sports continues here. Before we get back into trying to debate what is and what isn't a sport, there's a place where you don't really have to do any debating, and that's over at Boneyard Cycles on Pierman Dairy Road in Anderson. There is no debate because they're the best in the business at what they do. And one of the things I love about Paul and his team at Boneyard Cycles is that they're updating the inventory on their website daily. Just went on to BoneyardCyclesOnline.net. And you can see they're taking the photos in their showroom daily. They are updating these things. A whole lot of used pre-owned Harleys right now. The page I'm looking at, it's that time of year, folks. It's summertime. You want to get on the open road, long weekend ahead. No better way to get it started than by going over and talking to Paul and his team over there at Boneyard Cycles and get you something new on the road. And, you know, one of the best things about it, too, is talking with my brother-in-law's about this the other day, is their service department. You know, he's got two different bikes and can get both of them serviced over there at Boneyard Cycles. And it's, you know, one of the things that you would find on like in a big city shop in Charlotte or Atlanta, but it's right there in the heart of Anderson. There's no better place. So go on by and see him at 507 Pierman Dairy Road in Anderson or visit him online at BoneyardCyclesOnline.net.
Yeah, thanks for that, John. 654-ROAR is the number if you want to check in. Phone lines, Adams Co-Roofing text line open. We're talking through what is a sport versus what is not a sport, and a lot of people have interesting commentary on the text line, a lot of mixed bag of reviews. So this texter gets in with an interesting topic saying, the important criteria for a sport is requiring some level of physical athletic ability. I know very little about esports, but I know people that are really into it and want it to be considered a sport, hence the name. It's objective, team-based, and certainly requires skill most people don't have, but it's pretty much 100% mental rather than athletic ability, even more than NASCAR. Appreciate you checking in, 937. If I wanted to like make a technicality argument against you, and I'm not saying that I even agree with this argument, but like if I wanted to play devil's advocate, couldn't you make the claim that utilizing your hand-eye coordination on a controller is technically physical ability if you're doing it at a higher level than somebody else and you're in a competition?
Yes, we're just having to adjust in real time how we view about that.
Yeah, like
the hand-eye coordination is real. What's something that we talk about in baseball all the time, hand-eye coordination. You use it in golf, tennis, you name it.
Yeah.
Like, it's a different use of the skill.
It is.
But your hand-eye coordination is still a skill, and that's still, like, something that separates from the general public.
Right.
Now, is that necessarily the way in which we would all have come to know, like, understand, and process that skill set? No, this is still a new thing.
Right.
But that is still an elite skill set to have that very good hand-eye coordination.
I don't necessarily, and appreciate you texting in 937. Keep texting back in. I don't think that's a sport. I don't think that's a sport, but it is some level of skill. Like
it's a skill, yes.
I used to take video games like very seriously, not to like the esports is more leaning in towards like the people that play like the PC games or like the shooting games, but like this is like something that's growing, and there's more and more of a market for it. Like, I used to play Madden very seriously to the point where, like, I had a college offer to go play Madden on an esports team if I wanted to do it. Like, it was at some random college, and, like, it wasn't that much money, but that is a thing. And, like, I got that by just, like, showing up to, like, a local tournament and playing in it. And there were people there, like, scouting for that. I kid you not. I'll never forget the look on my dad's face. He thought it was like the stupidest thing ever. He's like, are you serious? Like, there are people that are going to go into college and play Madden, but that's like a real thing now. And like, people play Rocket League. That's like a big one. So I don't know, man. I don't think it's a sport, but it is like some level of skill set that has to be acknowledged for the people that are like raw at video games. We got to give some level of respect there. Like, we got a 2K league nowadays, John, where people are making hundreds of thousands of dollars and getting these like nationally streamed games to go play 2K. That there is some market for this. I just don't know whether to consider that a sport or not. Texter's getting in and says hand-eye coordination fades once you get out of your 30s. Trust me, very sad. I'm already washed on the video game at 23, so I can't imagine that it's going to get any better. I've been getting my butt kicked on MLB The Show lately. Not great. Not great. Texter gets in and says, what about horse racing? This is interesting. Esports, racing drones, remote control cars. I like the idea of where's the line. Great conversation. Love the show, Faxon and John. Appreciate you getting in 151. So what about horse racing? Because it requires a level of athletic ability to be a jockey, and I think we can all acknowledge that, correct? But really who's competing is an animal. It's not you. So, like, it's a sport. I think we would all acknowledge it and agree that it's a sport. But if we're using the barometer in the line of athletic ability, I agree there is a certain level of athletic ability required to be a jockey, but how do we stack that up against other sports? Like, they're really just riding on the horse and hitting the horse. And I could be missing something. I could sound very uneducated right now, but is there anything more to being a jockey that I'm missing as far as, like, athletic requirements go? You have to be really short.
A lack of physical requirements, maybe.
Yeah, I was going to say you have to be a certain size and stature, right?
Right. But, I mean, the horses are definitely athletes, my goodness. Because you know, that horse is very different than just the standard one. A lot of the ones I see in some farms and pastures on my way to work.
That intro one, you're driving through the back roads of Easley and you see them. Those horses are on something else. Let's get UGA fan Justin in here on the phone line. 654 Roar is the number. Justin, it's good to hear from you, man. How we doing?
Hey, doing well. Thanks for taking my call. This is a fascinating conversation. I really think it's philosophical in a way, but I had a couple of thoughts I wanted to get your opinion on. So as far as, is it a sport? What do you think about professional bodybuilding? Because Ooh. That takes a level of dedication that's almost beyond what most sports, even professional athletes, I mean, you think about the science behind their diets, and achieving those goals, if you're not lifting, you're constantly eating and meal prepping. And there is a level of competition involved once you get to the, you know, the stage part of it. But it is a total lifestyle. And I don't know if you've ever trained or been involved in anything like that. But I wanted to get your opinion on that. I have another thought after that as well.
Honestly, that is like one of the most intriguing. I've never even thought about that, but when you think about it and take a step back, being a bodybuilder is a 24/7 commitment, and that's a 24/7, you know, athletic commitment, mental commitment. Like you're saying, Justin, you're meal prepping, you're bulking, you're cutting, you're making weight for whatever you need to. Like, there's so many different circumstances that require you to, like, think and plan out what your day-to-day looks like, and then on top of that, you have to be in peak physical shape as a part of that, right? Because all of the people at the bodybuilding competitions are in, like, God-tier shape in comparison to your average Joe, so I don't know how to gauge that in all honesty, but I think there's a lot of validity to your points. Like, if you wanted to argue that as a sport, I don't know if I could argue against that logically.
Yeah, there's just so much science behind it. And it's really, like I said, it's kind of a philosophical argument. You know, what's the difference in a sport and a game? Or what, you know, like professional wrestling, for example. Yes, it's scripted, but that takes a lot of athleticism. And some things like Olympic curling, you know, is that really a sport, or is it more of, like, is it just a lot of skill involved? How do you differentiate that? But one last thing before I go, what about the game of chess? That takes like expert level mental studying and preparation, hours a day to learn the tactics and strategy behind it.
Yeah.
So, fascinating conversation. Just wanted to get your thoughts. Thank you.
Appreciate you checking in with us, Justin. 654 Roar is the number. John, you have any thoughts on any of Justin's phone call and the couple of sports and topics that he threw against the wall for us? I would go ahead and say that I don't think chess is a sport. I that's where I kind of draw the line. I think that's a strictly mental game.
I think that, I don't know if bodybuilding is, but I respect the dedication and the process. I think he's right about that.
Right.
But then again, if that's...
It's very impressive.
That's on the line. Oh, gosh, it's incredibly impressive. Something I wouldn't even remotely attempt to even, you know, try to do. But yeah, no, it's... I'd say that that's about as close to the line as it gets for me.
Yeah.
On is it or is it not.
I think that's fair. Texter 844 gets in and says, my daughter rides in horse shows. It's very physical. It could wear you out. This is why we appeal to the audience, John. Thanks for texting in, 844. So maybe I got to give a little bit more respect to jockeys, because I could never do that, first and foremost. And second of all, I just don't know enough about horse racing to know what it looks like to, like, train and prepare on a day-to-day, week-to-week basis as a jockey for horse racing? Like, I have to assume there's some level of working out and getting your body right and getting comfortable with the
horse. Oh, sure, absolutely. Like, yeah, there's a lot of training goes into that.
I was going to say, I bet that that's one of those things where you don't necessarily see all of the physical work showcased on race day, but that's like a building up preparation, working in the shadows type of thing to get your body in shape to be able to do something like that. So I appreciate you getting in, 844. We have a bunch of texts getting in. I've seen four or five, about three specifically. And I'll take two of the three, John, and we'll wrap this topic in this segment as well. About five more minutes here on The Roar. Poker is one that I'm seeing frequently. Hot dog eating, competitive eating is one that I'm seeing frequently. And I don't really know where my takeaway is on either of those. And then Austin gets in with one that I've seen a couple of times as well that I wanted to ask you on. Bull riding and professional bull riding, I think that that requires a certain level of like physical strength to stay on the bull.
Oh, 100%. 100%.
You have to have some consideration of thinking that's a sport. But poker, I don't know about poker.
No,
poker's
a game.
That. Yeah,
poker's
a game.
Yeah. A very competitive game, a game that can have incredibly high stakes and can be extremely fun to watch, consume, and participate in.
Oh, yeah.
But it's not a sport.
Yeah. Texter gets in and says, I think anything you have to train for in order to compete, is a sport. Interesting. I don't disagree with that, 615. I think if there's an intense training regimen and an intense training process, and it's physically taxing on top of being mentally taxing, I think that there's probably a pretty valid case to make that that's a sport. Yeah, I think that the line is blurry here, which almost makes the conversation better, because there are certain topics and certain things that you guys are bringing to the table that I wouldn't have considered a sport before this conversation, that now that I'm thinking about it and walking through the logic behind it, that I'm like, you know what? Maybe that is a sport now that I think about it twice. Let's get Alan here on the phone lines who checks in. Al, it's good to hear from you. How are we doing?
Good, thanks. You guys are good. This is a great conversation. So for me, there are two rules. I think there are two things, kind of hard to separate two things, separate the athleticism from the competitive. So for me, there's two rules. If you answer yes to both, then it's a sport. The first one is there at least some athletic ability required, which you guys have covered a lot, right? So, I mean, poker, chess, stuff like that, those are tough. They're hard to do, but would not be considered sports. They're games.
Right.
And then the other side, I think, which is something, again, you guys covered earlier, is the outcome determined by the athletes on the field? So if you have judges involved, for me, in my mind, it's a competition. Not a sport. So again, gymnastics, great athletes. These are all great athletes. Bodybuilders, you mentioned earlier, great athletes. A lot of hard work, blood, sweat, and tears. But in my mind, it would be considered a competition, not a sport. Does that make sense?
I like that. I like the way that you framed that, because, and Al, I'm in full agreement with you. The sports with judges and subjectivity with the judges are harder for me to gauge. I like the framing of competition because they're really competing for the appeal of the judges in a way.
Absolutely, yeah. And again, like you said at the top of the show, taking nothing away from the people that do those
things. Oh, yeah.
Those are hard, those are tough, and, you know, you absolutely got to do it. But just for me, that I think that just kind of, if you look at those two rules and say, can you answer yes to both questions, I think that kind of delineates a lot of those questionables, or the ones you have questions about. Anyway,
for sure.
I just wanted to put in there, I appreciate the show, appreciate all your guys' hard work, and you guys have a good day.
Hey, we appreciate you, Al. Keep calling back in, brother. Thank you, man. 654-ROAR is the number. I think that's great. I think that's great stuff from Al. So his two qualifications, again, to kind of walk that through, is there athletic ability involved, and then are the athletes that are on the field, court, whatever it may, playing surface for convenience, are they actually determining the result? I like that. I understand that there are going to be people that, listen, if you want to call gymnastics, competitive dance, competitive cheer, etc., a sport, I'm not one of those people that's going to jump down your throat, but I do think that the framing from Al saying that those are more competitions because they're judged sports makes sense. We all know that every college gymnast, high school gymnast, are infinitely more talented than I will ever be in the athletic realm. Same to be said about every UFC and boxer that would whoop my tail, but just from a framing and a technicality perspective, it's more of a competition than it is a sport if we want to get like particular with the lingo. What are your thoughts, John, before we take a quick break here on Al's phone call and the way he kind of framed that? Because I think he did a really good job.
Yeah, no, I very much like that. I like the thought that was put into it, and that there's rhyme, reason, and logic to his take and stance? No, I very much appreciate that. I think Al was spot on.
Texter 034 gets in and says, esports isn't a sport. Doctors need hand-eye coordination and surgery isn't a sport. Yeah, I guess that's fair. I don't think esports are a sport either. I do think it's like one of those things where there is hand-eye coordination required, so there's like a little bit of physical left, but like then you don't have to be in good shape to be great at video games. Like, I was in bad shape when I was really good at video games. Like, that's kind of the thing, is you're staying inside and you're playing the game. So it is what it is. Texter gets in and says, so half of the Olympics isn't a sport. I wouldn't necessarily say that's what we're angling at. I just think the judged sports specifically always get a little bit difficult for me to kind of gauge where they stack up in comparison to the sports where, as Al said, the victory is determined on the field in a more objective sense with winners and losers. And, you know, they're actually like the ball goes in the hoop. Acuna hits a home run, you know, whatever it may be in soccer. You score a penalty kick, you win like the United States did the other day. And then it's over, right? You don't appeal to the judges and say, oh, well, was my blank good enough? Was my whatever in gymnastics good enough? Was my whatever in this competition good enough? There's none of that necessarily going on. So I think that's more what Al was getting at. We could take a little bit of this into the upcoming segment, John, but we do have much to discuss today. We had a couple get in asking if golf was a sport. I would wholeheartedly say yes, and if you don't think it is, I don't agree with you. I do get where you're like getting at, because it's a sport where you don't have to have. Maybe people don't realize how much
you're walking and you're wearing a collared shirt and khaki pants.
Right. So yeah. It doesn't give the visual appeal of a sport, but
it's a sport.
People don't realize how much physical ability is needed in golf. Like, core and abdomen strength, lower body strength to get the torque on your swing so you can get the right ball speed and the club speed. And then you're talking about golf, which I would personally view as the hardest mental game of all of the sports, because it's just you out there. Like, that's another thing about these individual sports or competitions, whatever you want to call it. Those are mentally taxing, man. You're out there on an island. There's nobody coming to save you. This isn't one of those scenarios where I'm playing pickup basketball and I shoot 2 for 7 from 3 in one game, but it's cool because my shooting guard picks up my slack and shoots 3 for 4. No, you screw up in golf or tennis, nobody's coming to save you, man. So those individual sports require a different level of respect for me, because you're out there on that island, and that's a different level of pressure. We're going to take a quick break on the program. We'll continue to unpack this a little bit, and we'll shift gears to some college football here in the upcoming segment. 654-ROAR is the number if you want to check in.
So you've decided you want to have your garage floor professionally coated, but with so many companies to choose from, who should you hire? For nearly 15 years, Iron Drive Floor Coatings has installed the highest quality concrete coatings all over the upstate. With over 1 million square feet installed and the most 5-star reviews in our industry, our guarantees stand strong. Don't trust just anybody to coat your garage floor. Trust the company with a proven track record of quality work. Get a free quote today at irondrivegaragefloors.com.
Is your crawl space damp or musty? Water in your crawl space can cause wood to rot and create an environment for mold and mildew that can make its way inside your home. Canty Foundation Specialist specializes in crawl space repair. Call us today for your free inspection so you can have the peace of mind knowing your crawl space is dry and your home is protected. Call today, 864-641-0176, or visit cantycanfixit.com.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one, Tom Plumber.
Plumber, it's an emergency.
One Tom Plumber will be there in an hour, or they'll discount your bill.
In 1 hour?
Yeah, just dial the number one, then Tom Plumber.
That's their name.
That's their number.
Call the plumber whose name is his number one, Tom Plumber. One Tom Plumber.
Jeff Carey here from Sit and Sleep Upstate Furniture Galleries in Easley. Don't put off your comfort any longer, because at Sit and Sleep Upstate, we are putting on a recliner bonanza with literally hundreds of recliners on blowout pricing. With faux leather rocker recliners starting at $449, big man recliners for just $699, and powered leather recliners for only $849, you do not want to miss this. Only at Sit and Sleep Upstate Furniture Galleries, Highway 123 in Easley.
Don't miss out on the action. Arthrex is hiring. They develop innovative technologies to treat orthopedic sports injuries around the world and right here in your community. Learn new skills in a clean, high-tech manufacturing environment with many exciting benefits and campus amenities, including free lunch, free medical care, a new child care center, sports fields and wellness programs, paid parental leave, a transportation stipend, and much more. Check out careers.arthrex.com. That's careers.arthrex.com.
Coach Dabo Swinney here from the Clemson Tigers. Just like high schools across the upstate, Clemson fans love football. But one thing I love more than football is my family. That's why we talk to our three children about alcohol and other drugs. Alcohol is the leading cause of death among youth. But the truth is, most upstate youth aren't drinking or using drugs. Remind your teenagers that most teens choose to be healthy and drug-free. Talk to your teens about drugs and alcohol. They will listen. For more information, go to phoenixcenter.org.
Mr. Rage here, inviting you to join former Gillies bouncer Ramona in all the rages on Wednesday as we continue our NFL division-by-division analysis, picking up with the Dallas Cowgirls. Look, we talk college football as we have every day since early February. New positional rankings coming. We see what the Braves have left. Do they have any juice in the tank? We'll talk about it on Wednesday. Join us at 3.
The Braves, the Bravos, the team of the 90s, or whatever else you want to call them.
0-1 pitch, Harris wrecks one. Deep right field, that is out of the ballpark again. A three-run home run.
The Upstate's home for the 18-time NL East champs, the Atlanta Braves. We are the Roar, where every day is game day.
Final segment of hour number one here on a Wednesday with Faxon and John on the Roar. Appreciate you guys listening and tuning in. Conversation's been great this morning. 654-ROAR if you want to check in on the phone lines or the Adams Co-Roofing text line. We've got our guy 844 getting in, talking about equestrian and kind of making the case for why it should be considered a sport. It's a very valid case, saying for the rider, riding a horse may look effortless, but it's physically demanding. You got to have core strength. You got to improve leg and hip muscles, enhance coordination and reflexes, boost endurance, and work on flexibility. Many riders cross-train with exercises like Pilates, yoga, running, weight training to improve their fitness off the horse. Yeah, I can buy that. I can buy that for sure. I may have undervalued the difficulty of riding a horse, but admittedly, like I prefaced all of this with saying, a lot of these things I'm uneducated about, so I'm asking you guys to help me out. Appreciate you getting in with this 844. Texter is getting in with bowling. Yeah, I don't know. That's one that I don't know. I suck at bowling. I will say this, though, and maybe this sparks some controversy. Once you graduate college, you get that degree, you got to let the bumpers go, my boy. That's my rule personally. If you're above the age of 23, you got to let the bumpers go.
Above the age of 23?
Yeah, you got to let the
bumpers go. I'm talking about above the age of like 13.
I'm letting people. I have friends that I'm not trying to call out that use the bumpers that are like in a similar age range to me. I call them a coward every time I go to the alley, and it's not that much.
At this age, you need to start calling them out by name, email address, social media handle. That's ridiculous.
I will say this. I suck at bowling, but a large part of why I suck at bowling, and this is just really riffing here on the bowling part, I can't put my finger... There's like a mental block for me that I'm going to break my fingers if I put them in the ball and use the bowling ball the correct way, so I just chuck it. And I know that that's the complete incorrect way to bowl, which is probably why I suck at bowling. I'm not like horrible. Like I'm a competent player, but I get a lighter ball and I just chuck it. I play a velocity game when it comes to bowling, which, again, is probably why I suck. But for me, I can't put my fingers in the... Like, I'm afraid that I'm going to hold on too long and just break my fingers. Is that a valid fear, or am I just being paranoid for no reason? Like, I feel like there's got to be other people out here that agree with me to some level. There's got to be one person in the audience that agrees with me.
There may be. It ain't going to be me.
I can't
yeah,
do it.
We have multiple texters here, more in my camp. If you're over the age of 10, you cannot use the bumpers.
I got people my age that I went bowling with like as recently as probably 8 months ago that willingly looked the woman in the eyes at the counter and said, yeah, can I get the bumpers? I literally looked,
Kids these days.
The look of disgust, it's the participation trophy generation, John. It is what it is. People are out here using bumpers at the big age of 22. But in all seriousness, Texter gets in. We'll read off a couple more of these, and then we'll shift gears and start playing or start talking some college football. Disagree on the caller's take on sport versus competition. Football, baseball, and any team-driven activity could easily be considered a competition with a winner and loser, but they are still sports. Gymnastics is very clearly a sport with elite athletes. I hope people don't understand that we're not dissing the gymnastics. People that compete in gymnastics are some of the most gifted athletes on the planet Earth. Like that, the ability to train your body to have the requisite strength to compete in a gymnastics meet, have unbelievable God-given one-of-one coordination and control of your body, the mental fortitude to do that with packed-out arenas, all hyper-fixated on you as the main act, and, like, again, this is one of the things where it's like no one's coming to save you in gymnastics, right? You are a team. You do compete as a team, but your events are individual, so all the pressure's on you when you're out there. Yeah, gymnasts are unbelievable athletes, and we're really just walking this through 797, so we appreciate you getting in. But yeah, gymnasts are incredible athletes. Like, if you do competitive cheer, competitive dance, my sister did both for years, those are incredible athletes as well. It's just like, how do we stack that up against your more traditional sports that have more traditional scoring systems, I think is what we're kind of trying to parse out. A lot of people getting in on the Adams Co-Roofing text line on this. John, anything else to add before we shift gears to what's actually going on in the sports world? I enjoyed this conversation here this morning.
No, absolutely. Absolutely. I appreciate everybody getting in, 654 Roar, if you want to continue to do so.
For certain. All right. I know we go around the horn in the final segment, but would you like to get the ball rolling on the college football discourse for today / NFL discourse for today? Or would you like to talk about what happened last night at Truist in Atlanta? I'll let you make the selection here for the last 10 minutes of hour number one.
Well, we can get into the game. Yeah, actually, you know what? You put out a tweet last night that I want to parse out about the NBA.
Okay.
So I need to pull up your Twitter because there was something that you had put out last night that I kind of want to push back on.
Okay.
And I want to walk out a little bit here. So you had put out this tweet in a reply to Shams. Duncan Robinson agrees to a 3-year, $48 million deal with the Detroit Pistons.
Yeah.
You can find it Facts on Sports. Duncan Robinson's agent belongs in the Hall of Fame. Undeniably a first-team all-ski mask member. Respect. And I found out something about Duncan Robinson.
Yes.
Because at first, I would agree with you. That seems like a lot of money for kind of a...
He's a specialist, yeah.
For a specialist. But I didn't realize how special of a specialist he has been in terms of franchise lore with the Miami Heat.
Oh, yeah.
Are you aware that not only is he the all-time three-point leader in Miami Heat franchise history, do you know who is number two?
I would have to get longevity-wise. Maybe I'd go LeBron. Maybe Shane Battier maybe up there?
None of those are in the top 10.
Really?
So Duncan Robinson is first all-time in Miami Heat franchise history with three-pointers made, with 1,202 three-pointers made.
Dan Majerle would be? Is he up there? He's got to be in the top 10.
He is not in the top 10.
Really?
What? Number two all-time in franchise history at 984 is Tyler Hero.
What? I guess I'm just forget. The game has changed so much, man. What in the world? Yeah, Tyler Hero.
So, and he is about, almost close to 300 more three-pointers made over the course of his time as a member of the Miami Heat in seven seasons to Hero's six seasons. To your point of LeBron James is 15th in franchise history with 365 three-pointers. 1,200.
Yeah. Dunk is a shooter, man. Dunk
good
is a shooter.
Good for him. Ahead of guys like Glenn Rice, who was a pretty good shooter. Dwayne Wade, who was a pretty good scorer in 15 seasons with the Miami Heat.
Oh, yeah.
Only 480 three-pointers made for Dwayne Wade.
Yeah.
In his time there versus the 1,200 of Duncan Robinson.
It's great. Like, I was looking through some data last night, and like,
real quick, we have multiple texters getting in with Ray Allen. He's 25th in franchise ranks.
Yeah, I guess he only played a couple years.
Two seasons with the team, yeah.
I remember being pissed at Ray Allen when he went to the Heat.
Everybody was.
Everybody was like,
Boston still hasn't gotten over it.
You turn your back on Boston. Nah, but Duncan, number one, the way that Steph has changed the game forever, can like his impact can't be overstated. I mean, the pace of play, the amount of possessions, the three-point volume is ridiculous. As far as Duncan goes, I can't sit here and act like I feel Duncan deserves his respect. Number one, Duncan's like one of the best stories in the history of sports. If you guys don't know the story with Duncan Robinson, Division III to Michigan to not in the rotation and worked his way into the rotation, then right. started playing super well, undrafted, then works his way onto the roster, ends up carving out a niche, as John's saying, as a specialist. And now he's been in the league, what, 7 years? And he's still kicking around. And, you know, Duncan took a step back in 2022, but he responded pretty well in 2023 and 2024, respectively. I don't know if he's worth that quota, but I'm not somebody to hate on a man to get a bag. Like,
but as a specialist, when you already have Cade Cunningham in place, you already have kind of the foundation put in with this team.
That is true.
I like the move. And you've talked about how wide open the East is going to be this year.
Yeah.
What is something that Detroit desperately needed? Three-point shooting.
Yeah, I was going to say.
And you go out and you get that in a wide-open East, all of a sudden, like I am not trying to sit here and say that I like the Pistons in the way that you like the Hawks. I want to make that abundantly clear. I am not putting that type of
stock
or expectation on this team. But I love when a franchise goes into a time of the calendar like this. You have a glaring need in three-point shooting. You may have to spend a little bit more, but you go out and attack aggressively in need.
You know who Duncan Robinson should be shaking his hand and thanking? FanDuel and Malik Beasley, because they lost their three-point specialist that they were going to. They were going to sign Malik Beasley, John, to a 3-year, $42 million deal, and he's that exact specialist that we're talking. Duncan would have been somewhere else, I'm sure. I'm sure he would have gotten a similar figure. The dollar signs are crazy in the NBA nowadays. But Malik Beasley was the second leader in three-point makes this year in the entire NBA, and he did it off the bench. Well, he's being investigated right now for a federal gambling case.
The problem is he had himself bet as the number one player with right. three-pointers made this year.
Right. So, Duncan, you can thank Malik Beasley for betting on games because that's a big part of why he got paid as the specialist out in Detroit. But everybody needs a specialist. Like, Duncan, $15 million's probably a bit too much for my liking. But to your point, the cap goes up every year. So, a bad contract looks the worst when it is signed. Is my takeaway in the NBA with how the cap goes up every year. When the contract gets signed, everybody's going to whine about the amount of money a guy's making. But then you're going to get 2 years down the road, and the cap's going to be $14 million higher, and it's going to be worth like 3 or 4 total percent less of your cap than it was when the deal was inked. So, Duncan, he provides a need. And if Beasley can't get out of the woods here, he definitely provides a need and is going to be a pretty big focal point next year because they need him to shoot.
Absolutely. And what if... Let's just say you have an injury or things just don't click this year with Detroit. Well, now you have a fair contract with a piece that almost every contender would make a run for near the deadline.
Yeah, everybody needs shooting, and $15 million a year isn't that much.
Exactly. So if we get here near the deadline and Detroit's had some bad injuries and they're just not in contention, well, you now have something that everybody who's probably the top five on the East or the West would want in their rotation.
Yeah, you can flip it, and they're going to bring Duncan off the bench. He can come in, average 9 points a game, knock down it. Like, that's his job, is to space the floor and not be a liability on defense. That's really Duncan's only job, and shoot those catch-and-shoot shots when it comes open. And Cade Cunningham's one of the highest usage players in the history of the game. He very heliocentric brand of basketball in Detroit. He does pretty much everything for that team because they don't have a secondary or a tertiary creator. So what does he need next to him? Shooting. You need shooting and you need defense, and Duncan's going to give you shooting and he's going to give you a little bit of defense. So I don't hate it. I do think his agent still like deserves that previous contract, John. Hold on. Let me see what Duncan's previous contract was. Because it was fat. And I remember when he signed it, everybody was like, what? Duncan's making that much money? So Duncan Robinson's Heat contract that he signed, I want to say this was back in 2020, maybe after the COVID year. Sorry, I'm looking for details right now. So his new one is 3-year, $48 million. But the last couple years with Miami, he's been making $19 million a year. Made 15 back in 2021, 16 in 2022, 18 in 2023, and 19 in 2024. Duncan's agent, man, salute. That's respect. You're telling me this guy is going to make
7 straight years of $15-plus million to play basketball and be a specialist, that's respect. So congratulations, Duncan, for getting paid. We'll walk out a little bit more NBA stuff heading into the next hour, John, and then we'll shift gears. One topic that's caught everybody's eye after the breaking news yesterday on the program, where is Damian Lillard going to go? We need to walk through some of that because there are 5 landing spots that have been outlined by Sam Quinn on CBS Sports that I think seem to make sense. I have my own personal thoughts at who the front runners are. I don't necessarily agree with this list. And I think that my Golden State Warriors might end up signing the Oakland native in Damian Lillard, who has always expressed his willingness to want to come back home, if you will. So if he doesn't end up being a Blazer, I think there's a good chance he's a Warrior or a Heatle. Those would be the big 3 for me right now: Miami, Portland, and Golden State. But we'll walk through some of the Damian Lillard free agency stuff. And then we'll also just continue to walk through that this has been a disappointing offseason thus far. I mean, we've been promised a lot of fireworks. We've been promised a lot of cinema. And yesterday, the biggest news that I saw was that Trey Mann inked a new 3-year deal to go be the backup shooting guard on the Hornets. And it's like, Shams, come on, you're killing me, bro.
But hey, there's always going to be fireworks. There's always going to be excitement with trades that are made. It just wasn't in basketball yesterday, Faxon.
That is true.
It was in Major League Baseball. And boy, were fireworks galore yesterday when the trade went down between the Pittsburgh Pirates and the Atlanta Braves.
The crazy thing is, like, half the audience probably doesn't even know that there was a trade that went down yesterday between those two teams. We will walk through what has an argument for the most irrelevant trade I have seen in the last couple years of Major League Baseball. And the Atlanta Braves taking on somebody with a 23, yes, you heard that right, 23 ERA. 654 Roar is the number if you want to check in with Faxon and John. Braves, college football, NBA. All in hour number 2 right after this.
WCCP-FM 105.5, Clemson, Greenville, Anderson. WAHT-AM 1560, Cowpens.